We want to define e to the integral for the most simple case, and the notation is going to be something like that. Just trying to find my. Okay, now it works. And we start with some considerations. So the process L is going to be a simple process. And we will denote the space of simple processes. By L0. So what is a simple process in our definition? So it is not 100% unified. And if you go to another book, the first assumption is there exists a sequence T0 less than T1, maybe I should still say that, up to Tn, which is capital T, and the n is arbitrary but fixed, and random variables. Ci. And I goes from 0 to n. Okay, so if I write the random variables, then I should write like that. And I think we don't need n. We can go from 0 to n minus 1. With the properties that so maybe we do it like that. This is 1 and this is 1 i, and f no, xi I is f t I measurable. So we have these time points here, we have the xi here for all I going from 0 to n minus 1. The second condition is that these random variables are bounded. So I take xi I of omega and the modulus and the supremum over omega, and I can also take the I from 0 to n minus 1, and that should be less than C, or less or equal to C for some C greater than 0. And L can be represented by the help of all these ingredients. So LT of, yeah, LT is equal to the sum going from 1 to n. And here I put xi I minus 1 and the indicator function ti minus 1 ti of t. And the xi's, they are random variables, so they depend on omega. So that's why this L also depends on omega. And the connection is in such a way so that here we only have dependence in t, and here the dependence in omega. So such an object is called a simple process in our course here. Yeah, so how can we imagine this object? This simple process. So I have these time points, trying to copy the, okay, now I have, this was not very clever because of course random variables can also have negative values. Okay, so we have these time points, t0, t1, t2, t3, they don't need to be equidistant. Let's have capital T here maybe. And then it turns out that on this interval ti minus 1 to t, the function is constant to this value if I keep omega fixed. So I'm keeping omega fixed. I'm getting, let's say, maybe from here to there. So it is left hand side open. So that means that everything starts in zero then. So the first point is zero. And then we have this would be xi zero of omega. And then we have another value, maybe from here. Okay. Imagine that this is a straight line, please. This is xi 1 of omega, and maybe this one is xi 3 of omega, and so on. And altogether, this would be Lt. The map t to Lt of omega, for fixed omega. So this is how we can imagine a simple process. And a process, this is similar to the discrete case, is called a process L. It's called adapted. If LT is FT measurable. For T, where it is defined. And now we see that our process the simple processes are adapted processes. So if you assume that T is in T ti minus 1 to ti. Then we have that lt is equal to psi I minus 1. And this psi I minus 1 is by definition f t I minus 1 measurable. That was how we, what we assumed from this. And now this f t I minus 1 is included in, because this t is bigger than t I minus 1. It is also FT measurable. Okay, so LT is FT measurable for T for our simple processes. Okay, so how to define an integral where we have LT inside, let's say omega is fixed, and then outside we have a function. Let's write like that. So if you would have such an integral, then some of you might know Stieltjes integral, or you just think of how you would use a change of variable if you want to compute an integral in time, then you would take a differentiable function here, and then you could write you take the derivative of the function b and write it like that. But this is all, of course, only possible if b is differentiable. And in that case, just let's imagine. So you know already the Brownian motion doesn't help. It doesn't, for the Brownian motion, it doesn't work here because it's nowhere differentiable. But in that case, what would you do? Now we have that the LT, let's assume it is such a simple process, then this would be constant on these intervals. So we could, if we plug in this representation, then we would have the sum. And then the integral ti minus 1 to ti. And here we have xi minus 1 of omega and b prime of t dt. And then this is easy to compute because this is constant. So we would get ci minus 1 of omega. And we take the antiderivative of b prime and we get the b ti minus b ti minus 1. And of course, for the Brownian motion, this doesn't work. We know b prime with the capital B doesn't exist, but we could take this as a motivation and a thing of the left-hand side and the final right-hand side. So this is our motivation. even so B T is nowhere differentiable. So we cannot do this calculation, but we can write up the right hand side. That's not a problem. And that's what we are going to do. Okay. So we just define our E2 integral. For our simple processes, so the E2 integral on L0 or for L0, maybe. And there are different notations. For some reason, one writes IT of L. So we define the E2 integral for L in L0 by, and then the representation is of course like it was given. So we have this xi I minus 1, and we assume we have this given time points, and we put t I, BTI minus BTI minus 1. And I goes from 1 to k plus psi k. BT minus BTK minus 1. So why did I write it so complicated? Because I'm using here a little t, and I'm assuming that the t is between tk, yeah, tk, this must be tk, because here tk is already used. Now we go from, okay, the t is between tk and tk plus 1. Where's the, yeah, I think it's like that because we have a left hand side continuity. Yes, this is how we define it. So if the t is between tk and tk plus 1, then we write it up like that. If lt was given l, yeah, in that way, now I'm wondering, this has to go until n, because we need, did I do something wrong here? Where's our simple function? Yeah, that's okay. So the xi's we don't need, the xi's we don't need until n, only until n minus 1, but these intervals we need. Okay, that was correct. Okay, this is how we can write that. And another notation, it depends on your taste, how you can work better or think better. You can also write this without assuming that t is in a certain interval, then you would work with a minimum. So we write the xi I minus 1, and I goes from 1 to n, and b t I minimum t. So this is a sign for minimum. So a, don't know if we had this already, maybe. And since we in stochastics need so often taking the minimum and sometimes also the maximum, we like this short notation instead of writing always the word minimum or the three letters. Okay, so this is the same representation like here, only in a different way. And here we don't need to distinguish in which interval we are, just it always works because this is canceling if the t is smaller than in the interval where we then the ti is, right? And then we get zero. So after k, so to say here. Okay, so this is the definition. So keep your favorite one in mind. So I'm going to use this probably more often because sometimes it's a bit tedious to work with the minimum. And we could also have written this as a typical shape of or typical notation of the Itô integral. So we write it of L is equal to the integral from 0 to t L s d v s. So we can choose what you like best. Okay, so we still have time. So we have defined our Itô integral, and now we want to know the properties. And some of them we are going to prove. And I hope that this proof helps you to understand what's going on here. So we list some properties and some we prove. So this is properties of the Itô integral for the case that L is the integrand is a simple function. Okay. The first property, it's denoted by A, is called, and one of the important one, most important one, is the so-called Itô isometry. What does it mean? We compute the second moment, and here we go until capital T. Of the Itô integral, and it turns out that we get the integrand squared and we integrate with ds. So maybe at some point in the moment it is clear how to integrate that because it's a piecewise constant process, so we have a piecewise constant function, so you can still use here the Riemann integral. So that's okay. So I'm going to list the other properties because we have them all together then, but I'm probably not able to prove everything today. So we will continue next week. So we have this, maybe I'm writing in the shape of the integral sign. So we have that the map T maps to this. So this is again a process in time, and it turns out that this map is a square integrable martingale. Yeah, and I forgot continuous. Square integrable continuous martingale. So maybe I should explain myself. Square integrable means that, now I'm writing IT because it's shorter, is finite for T. So that was the first word, continuous. It has continuous paths. This might be for all omega or for almost all omega. And the process, well, we don't write it like that. There was the one. So IT of L, and then I'm plugging in the omega, should be written like that. And then we have this process of continuous random variables, and this is a martingale. So this is meant by square integrable continuous martingale. Okay, what else do we have? The last condition is that this building is linear. So in the sense that, and also this, we maybe it's more nice to write it in the integral way. If you have two real numbers, alpha and beta, then alpha LS plus beta K, and K is also a simple process. DBS is equal to alpha LS DBS plus beta KS DBS for all alpha beta real and LK simple functions. And for all T, of course. Okay. So we are going to start with the E2-isometry. And this is somehow the most important step here, because it helps us to understand what we have by this building. Okay, so what do we do? We compute that was capital T, I guess. So this is A. And that was capital T, so we compute this object. So we take the square, and actually that's sometimes not unique what is meant. So I'm taking the square and then the expectation. And the right hand side was wrong, I don't know what's happened. I forgot here to put the expectation. So here should be expectation also. Okay. So we know what this is. We can write it up. So I'm going to make it very unique that we really take the expectation after this, taking the square. And by definition, this is just the sum of the xi I minus 1, bt I minus bt I minus 1. And I goes from 1 to n. And then we take the square. And then we take the expectation. Okay, and we write down the square in detail. So we have a double sum. I goes from 1 to n. And then maybe k goes from 1 to n. And then we have a xi I minus 1 and xi k minus 1 and the differences. And the claim is that this is the sum I goes from 1 to n, xi I minus 1 squared times ti minus ti minus 1 plus nothing, plus 0. Okay, and of course this is not clear why this should be true. So I'm making a star here and have to justify this equation. So the first step would be that to come from the second last line to the last, that we realize we can take the expectation inside because we have just finite sums. And then we have to compute the expectation of such an expression. Justify star. We calculate. And that's actually the important step here, that you realize what's going on from here to there, because that's the point. Also of the definition, that how we use the measurability of the xi I and so on, that it really works. So if you do it differently, then you cannot do this calculation. Okay, so we have xi I minus 1, xi k minus 1, and this bti minus bti minus 1. The same with k. And then we use tower property. And we have two situations. Either the I is, so let's assume that the I and the K are not equal. This, if they are equal, we do later. So in the moment we assume I and K are not equal. So then we can decide, let's I less or K, which one is the smaller one. So let's assume that I is less than K and the other is symmetric. Okay, so I is less than K. So in this situation, we use tower property. with respect to ft k minus 1. And then we see what's going to happen. So k is a bigger one, so that means that bti, so I is less than k, so bti is less than or equal to k minus 1. Bti is less or equal to k minus 1. So ti is less or equal to this one. So that means that because we have that bti is fti measurable, that was the condition. And this one is even better. This is fti minus 1 measurable. So we have that this is ftk minus 1 measurable. And we can check that everyone else here in this first part is also ftk minus 1 measurable. The xi k minus 1 by definition, and the xi I minus 1 because it is fti minus 1 measurable, and so it has the same measurability as that one. These have the same. So that means that all the things before the last factor are ftk minus 1 measurable. So this is fti minus 1 measurable, and so on. So that means we can use take out what is known. And we don't need to worry, because we know that the xi's are bounded, and these are square integrable. And even Brownian, Gaussian random variables have all moments. So the product is in L1. There's no worry about that one. But I'm not going into detail concerning these technical parts. Not in this lecture. So what is known is the first factor here. And this is now the point. So we have exactly the measurability like that, that we can take out everything which would disturb us in our calculation. Namely, what is left is BTK minus BTK minus 1. And now we use exactly the definition of the Brownian motion, which tells us that such an increment is independent of this sigma algebra. So that is, by definition, unfortunately, I don't have the definition anymore on this sheet, but perhaps you can check out, and you should actually know and learn that the definition of the Brownian motion is like that, that such increments are independent. And the rule was in our calculation of conditional expectation, if the random variable inside is independent from the condition, then conditional expectation is expectation. But if you take the expectation, then we know it's zero. Okay, and then this factor doesn't concern us anymore, so we get zero altogether, and that means that any mixed terms here taking the expectation give us zero, so that's this zero which we have just shown. Okay, so how to continue? Now we have to still to work with the situation that I is equal to k. So that was the first case. Yeah, and this is even easier, and you can do the same trick or procedure as before. Namely, now you have just two factors, and it turns out if you would have the position to, or if you would be in the situation to compute the expectation of this one, then we know it's just the time difference by definition of the Brownian motion. So we have to make sure that we have an expectation. So the same procedure as on top, we use a tower property and pull out the measurable part, and then the rest is computed like above. Tower property. So what should we take now here? Of course, FTI minus 1. Because then this one is measurable. So take out what is known, just the same things. And this is, of course, tau property. And we have the same situation again. This increment is independent of FTK minus 1, and then it's clear that if you square this increment, you still have independence. But this time we don't get 0, like in the upper case. This gives us here expectation of BTI minus BTI minus 1 squared. And we discussed that this is just a time difference. That was how the Brownian motion was defined. So this follows by definition. So it was like BT minus BS is distributed like this. Same reason as on top, by the way. Okay. Yeah. So we get Xi I minus 1 square the expectation, so I can take it inside or outside of the sum, and the time difference. So what we have shown is the red star, but we are not done, because this one is not what the claim means. The claim means that we get the simple integrand squared and then integrated with respect to ds. So we would need to make so we kind of meet in the middle. We are going to compute now the right hand side and see that we end up on this expression. Okay, so I think this is something which is kind of clear. But Yeah, so it's kind of clear, but I thought maybe we should have seen it once. Especially if you're not so, if integration is not your everyday job. So I'm using the representation. And the claim was, so I have a square here, so I need to put here my square. And then this is very simple because if you write out the square, then you see that all the mixed terms concern indicator functions which have disjoint sets. So product of indicator function with disjoint sets gives you zero. So this is a nice formula because you can pull in the square and just put it to the Xi. And then you just need to take out the sum, and you realize that the Xi actually doesn't depend on t. So we get, so we can also take the Xi out of the integral. And we have just the integral over the indicator function in time. And that's clearly ti minus ti minus 1. So that means that we have expectation of the psi I minus 1 squared times this time difference. And that's exactly what was also the outcome of the left-hand side. So we get that right, left-hand side. Left hand side is equal to the right hand side, and that's why we are done. So I'm going to prove the martingale property and so on next time. That's all for today. Thanks for listening and have a nice weekend.
Awesome.